This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Everybody, it is another episode of the very semi-famous, the very exciting, and the very lovely Almost Famous Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ben.
The semi-famous podcast. That is a really cool interpretation of our name. I'm Ashley.
And this week we do have your batch bracket rule of the week. And there is no rule this week because we're only down to three people. So keep signing up. Keep filling it out. See if you win. We'd love to meet you. We have good turnout so far, Ashley, on this thing. Let's keep it going.
I would love to. All right. Well, Ben, how are you doing? This is like the first host chat segment that like I feel like we have nothing to talk about.
What do you mean? My life's super exciting.
Well, I guess
Ashley.
We do.
Ashley, I have been going to bed with my wife at about 7:45 in the p.m. because it gets dark. We have been turning on a Christmas movie, and for the last three nights. So one of my favorite things, I'll tell you this, one of my favorite things now in the world is when Jessica lays her head on my chest as we watch a movie. So like we'll be laying there and she'll just cuddle up real close, put her head on my chest. The only problem with that is it takes about 25 minutes at most for her to be doing the whole like sleep wiggles. You know what I'm talking about? When they like you fall asleep and you start like running in your sleep. She does that. So about 8:30, she falls asleep and about 5:10, she's wide awake downstairs making coffee ready to go.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah, I'm not up at that point. My alarm doesn't go off for another hour after that. But still, that's been our week.
5 a.m.
Been a lot of Christmas movies, a lot of great time with my wife back here in Denver. We are back in the swing of things. She is giving as many facials and dermaplanes as she can, and I am catching up on everything missed for the last few weeks. But Ashley, big opening night for Audrey's Coffee Shop.
We did have a big week. I lied before when I said we had nothing to talk about. Ben's even been involved heavily this week in the opening of Audrey's Coffee House and Lounge. Our opening night, we didn't do a head count, but I would assume there have been close to 400 people there.
It was massive.
It was. So thank you, Bachelor Nation, for coming out in droves. That's amazing. In the very supportive Rhode Island community. That was awesome. Ben said that he thought we had enough coffee for a while, but said that we flew out of it, given that we were only open for like 7 days and needed a rush order.
We have been roasting and overnighting coffee now for the last 3 days to this coffee shop because you sold out of about as much coffee as I expected to last you 3 weeks. And so,
no way.
Oh, yeah. So you have like really, really started out on a good foot. I mean, I estimated this based on our Golden Coffee Shop, which is a very great coffee shop here in Golden that does really well. And you guys just dominated it. So congrats in the opening. It has been a big week. Things will get smoother and easier. But I know from everything that I've read and heard, that place is really, really cool.
Oh, thank you so much. You talk about all your cozy Christmassy moments with your wife. And I'm jealous because I feel like, where's my husband? I feel like a stay-at-home wife right now. Because Jared is at the coffee shop like 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a lot of quality time lately, which sucks, especially around this time of year where we would definitely be doing the Christmas movie watching. But it's okay. All will settle into place eventually. I'm thinking probably like March or April.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, celebrate then. Well, everybody, this is Mintel All Week. For The Bachelorette, and this is Michelle's season of The Bachelorette. It was a unique Mintel All. There was a lot of drama, a lot of fighting, a lot of just unexpected fan cameos and things happening to spice up the Mintel All. This is Caitlin and Tayshia's second hosting of, am I right?
Yep.
The second hosting of the Mintel All. I thought they did great. Some of the big storylines in this Mintel All that we'll dive into is is Tayshia has to walk out of mental law due to the conversation she was having about her breakup. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about the drama amongst the men and then tease and talk about what we think of the next season of The Bachelor, which they confirmed, I guess, during this episode, or I don't know, but
I think they confirmed it last week.
Okay. Well, they confirmed it last week. Clayton is The Bachelor, and they showed a sneak peek of his season, which was full of drama, as we had to expect.
It looks better than the teaser for this season looked.
It does. I think that poor Clayton guy is a nice guy. I think this thing was probably very hard for him to navigate, which is not a criticism on Clayton as a human. I just think that he's a nice guy who cared a lot and probably walked into something that he did not expect.
You mean he accidentally said, I love you to three people?
Yeah, what a mistake.
Putting you to shame, Ben.
What a mistake. That's what I said. I posted it last night. I was like, you know what? I hope at some point everybody has during this holiday season a moment to reflect on my season of The Bachelor and go, you know what? We gave that Ben guy a hard time and he deserves an apology.
I know. Oh, the things that have happened since. To think that that was dramatic, right?
Oh my goodness. Well, time moves on. Well, hey, let's take a break here, Ashley. When we come back, we are going to do the Mintel All breakdown and also hot topics of this week within Bachelor Nation. Caitlin and Tayshia start out Mintel All. They are still the host and mentors. Live shows are always a big deal, I think, for me to watch them as hosts because I can be easy and it's totally different than, you know, hosting the show where it's like little cameos and conversations. I thought they did great.
Yeah.
I thought they did really well.
It's so much harder than doing the little like, hi guys. So today,
yeah,
Michelle wanted you to know, you know. Conducting a live show in front of a studio audience is pretty crazy. So they did do a great job. Just reiterating how we feel about those ladies.
I will say though, different than Mintel Alls of the past, where they really let these guys go at it. And in fact, if you noticed watching it, there was moments where Caitlin and Tayshia rolled their eyes and said, "Oh, geez," when somebody would speak up too often, or they kind of like let these things go on longer than we've seen in the past.
Okay. I vibe you on that.
Not that that's bad. It's just like, it's kind of their style. And I mean, as a viewer, Ash, I don't fully dislike it because I want to see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I want them to be kind of like fans. So I actually thought the first half of Mintel All was a lot stronger than the second half. Mm. When I think about the memorable moments, oddly, it was between characters that probably weren't there very long.
Yeah.
For me, my standout moments, and maybe like because it's Mintel All and there's like a lot of filler content in it. Do you want to just kind of go through the episode like with what stood out to you and what stood out to me?
Yeah. Well, I do agree with you. I thought Romeo stood out to me. Romeo, I've always been a fan of. I thought he's very intelligent, obviously, with his pedigree and education and kind of what he does for a living. I also just thought he seemed very comfortable during his time on The Bachelorette. I thought he was released very early. I don't know why. He kind of reminds me of the John Hersey's, I think that's his name, whoever's with Katie now. I was a big fan of John and then he got let go and I still have the Instagram.
Oh my gosh. Ben,
what?
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, remember?
It's all coming back. You were a huge fan of John.
Yeah.
He was like your dark horse.
Yeah, he was my dark horse.
And now he's dating her.
I knew it. People just need to listen to me more, Ashley. That's the thing is I predicted it. I still have the Instagram message where he said, "Hey, I heard you spoke nicely of me. Thanks for that." Like, I did. I thought he had a lot going for him. And then look at it now. So, and I thought they looked good together.
Funny.
Yeah, I know.
How funny. Okay. So Romeo was a standout to you. His hair was a standout to me. I did not like the new do.
Maybe that's going to be a trend. I mean, maybe just maybe that comes like we'll see it spread across the country because of this year's, you know, season of The Bachelorette. But anyways, okay, so back to a big moment that first stood out to me was obviously the Will and Peter drama. Will calling Peter a narcissist.
That was my favorite
part. Wild.
That was the best part of the whole episode.
I mean, so contentious and so dramatic. So Ashley, I want to hear from you. As you watch this on television, what is going through your mind as these two people, two seats from each other, are just going back and forth?
Well, okay, so Will says that Peter should have gone on Shark Tank if he was wanting to promote a business. And it all stems from that drama they had about, it was Will calling Peter a narcissist, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And then remember, Peter ended up throwing the Top Gun jacket into the pool. It was all crazy and overdone. But now we see that Will is so obviously writing horrible reviews about Peter's pizza place online. And now, as like a cafe owner, I know how absolutely detrimental that is.
Terrible.
And I have so much, I'm like, this is so not cool, dude.
No.
You can't do this. So I was definitely Team Peter in all of it. And I don't know.
Well, it is. It's super detrimental to a business. You just really have to dislike somebody and want to see somebody like fail to do like that. Like there have been people in my life that I am not fans of, that I just don't get along with, that I don't see eye to eye with, that maybe we've had.
You wouldn't do that.
Well, it just wouldn't come to mind. Like like the idea that you would take action to then go out and hurt that person is very odd to me. Now, I don't think Peter handled himself well on the show or even on Mentel All. I thought he was very confrontational. It felt like the men there still don't really like him, that he was probably pretty annoying. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Will went out of his way to leave these reviews, and I just can't get behind that. Like, I can't say that was a funny thing or a good thing. It was honestly a little disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like evil.
Yeah.
It was bad sold.
So that starts out their drama. It moves into just a note before we get too far along to where some guy, which I thought was one of the weird parts of this show, comes out.
This is weird.
And
serves
Will for defamation.
But I'm like, dude, do you know that you've now put yourself in the public figure realm?
Yeah.
You cannot sue for defamation at this point.
Oh, no. It's just like it's pretty much impossible. You're never going to win it. But it was odd to me. So this happens, right? And I'm like, is this real? Is this not real? Probably not real.
I think it was fake.
But then Peter goes, this is just a taste that will happen on in real life. And I was like, okay, this isn't real. Like Peter said that line. I was like, oh, this is all fake. Like, super odd, super weird to have happen, but, like, still spice things up, and it heightened the drama a little bit more. Okay, moving into the next big dramatic thing for me, you might have something different, but I'll stop here and say Ryan's little segment for his very short time on this show, Mentel All really highlighted Ryan and his moment of celebrity by pretty much tanking himself with a playbook for how to be on The Bachelorette. This segment went on for a long time. I was surprised by it.
I still don't think it was the biggest deal ever. And they also were trying to villainize him by saying that his dream girls didn't look like Michelle and insinuating that, like, he wouldn't be into a girl like Michelle. But, like, just because your celebrity crushes don't look like the person you're dating doesn't mean that you're not attracted to them.
No. Again, he did a terrible job of explaining himself. He definitely went with the whole, like, I'm just going to throw apologies out here to see if it sticks. It didn't. I don't think he was meant to be with Michelle. I don't think his exit on night one was a loss to the show or a loss for Michelle. But they really highlighted it and they really made it a thing Pardeep even goes at Ryan during this whole thing. Like, Pardeep steps up and just pretty much says that Ryan has no integrity. I don't know if that's true, and I don't know Ryan at all, but I was shocked to see that coming from Pardeep.
That's like a bold thing to say for somebody who's only known a person for a matter of hours on night one.
Very bold.
Yeah.
What stood out to you then?
There's so many guys that I did not know their names sitting up there.
Yeah. I mean,
have you ever like seen a tell all where you forgot so many of the men?
No. And I wonder why. I wonder if that's just because of the, but I can't even blame it on that. Cause like Tayshia's season, we knew a lot of the guys sitting up there, right? We had memories of them.
Yeah.
I wonder if
it wasn't a pandemic thing.
It wasn't. Yeah. I don't know. Why the cast that was not like the final three or four, really five, did not stand out to us.
Yeah, it's very weird. I will say that watching Clayton's preview, seeing them back at the mansion and seeing them traveling to places again was refreshing. I didn't realize how much I missed it and maybe how much it contributes to the show.
No, I agree with that. No, I miss the mansion. I miss having the familiarity of seeing them in the hot tub or in the pool or, you know, in the sitting areas, even the rose ceremony room. That's going to be fun to go back to and to see them within it. It's going to be kind of flat. I mean, for as many changes that have happened in the last year and a half to this show, it's going to be a little bit of familiarity that I think many viewers are wanting and probably needing if they're going to continue to be huge supporters of the show. And, you know, we hope they are. But I'll move us through this then. Ashley, the next big standout moment is Martin. We see Martin again. Martin had a terrible exit. Awful exit.
Very bad.
Yeah, really bad.
He does nothing to redeem himself here for me. I know he apologizes, but he's appalled. It's just what he's got to do. And I just get like weird vibes from him.
It does feel like this season had a lot of people that we had like odd encounters with, like more villains per se, maybe not standout villains. Like, I don't know if any of these people are going to be like
guys that made you feel weird. Like, you did not want to be friends with them. You didn't want to be around them. Like Jamie, like I like resent him through the TV. Like, I don't want to be near him. He makes me nervous.
Yeah, you had like a reaction to him. Well, it doesn't stop then, because right after Martin, we have Chris. So like right away, we have a bunch of confrontations. Now, again, I want to highlight this. This doesn't always happen on the mental, but we had a confrontation amongst Peter and Will. Then we move into Ryan and everybody confronts Ryan. And then everybody moves into Martin and confronting Martin. And then we get to Chris, which felt like Alice had a Jamie, and we'll get to Jamie in a second. Chris had the most angst within the house. People were very upset with Chris, and he definitely didn't do anything to redeem himself here. This was a complete, he backtracked here, calling Alu out. Highlighting the fact that he had a low IQ. Alu stands up and says, hey, I'm Black Excellence. I've got a master's degree. Like, really puts Chris in his place. But another confrontation. We're starting out with five confrontations during Mintel All.
And Rick, who probably is the guy who like we trust most in the house that was up there on that stage, besides maybe Rodney, he said that he was roommates with him and still doesn't believe him. He said that outrageous thing. Remember, he was like, I've been some sexual innuendo with hotter girls. And I'm like, okay, first off, I don't even know that there are hotter girls in existence than Michelle. So I really don't like you now.
What a weird thing to say, too. Like, even, you know, people can blame it on locker room talk or whatever. But like, at any point, if any guys like I've hooked up with hotter girls and the girl I'm with, right? Like, that's just a weird thing to say, like, and have your mindset around and a weird place to put yourself within. If that's true, again, it's good that Chris went home. Now, I'm you know, this is the whole thing got weird to me because you're right. Maybe that's why this episode felt so heavy at times, because there were so many interactions with people and so little even desire. They didn't even ask for forgiveness. They just apologized. Like, hey, I'm sorry that I hurt everybody in this room. It's like, well, okay, but like, you're not still taking accountability. And that moves us into Jamie, because Jamie, in my opinion, took no accountability. In fact, and I know people on here are going to get upset with me, I know they're going to get fired up, and I've been very good about this for a long time, But Jamie described himself multiple times during this episode saying, you know, I'm the type of guy that likes to be a coach too and an encourager too. I'm the type of guy that wants honesty. I'm telling you.
That is so Jamie though. Like Jamie radiates self-describing in that way. Oh, it's so repulsive.
And so I hope people hear it and go, hey, when somebody does this, when they tell you they're a nice person, it should raise a little red flag. I'm not saying the biggest red flag, but when somebody says, I'm the type of person that likes to encourage others. Cool. Like, good for you. Show me. Because I haven't seen it yet. Like, yeah. And Michelle calls him out on it. I thought Michelle did a great job at saying, Jamie, it's nice that you're sitting up there apologizing. It's nice that you're up there telling me how great I am. But you did none of that actionably when it mattered. You're just doing it now because you feel forced to. That was her exact words. I'm not saying that any of these people should be punished. I'm just saying they should be called out. You should be called out when your actions don't meet your words. And you should try to adjust a little bit to helping your actions match your words. If you're going to say you're a nice guy who likes to be an encourager, you better do it.
Yeah. And he was like, you know, I know I didn't say that I was the one that brought it up, but, you know, I thought I might do that. I may fess up to it, but then it just like, I guess I just didn't.
So the first part of this whole episode is confrontations. It's drama. Probably more confrontations and drama than we've seen in a long time. I can't remember the last time this type of thing happened on a live show.
But you know what? That being said, did we really care about seeing all of this? Because I remember when the tell-all would happen and I would be like, oh my God, so-and-so is going to have to sit close to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to face that. Like, you know, people made a big deal when I was going to have to like confront Kelsey, or like when on your season, the twins and Olivia, like there were things that felt like so unresolved. There was nothing about this tell all where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm scared for so-and-so.
Mm-mm. No, maybe. I mean, I wonder if
maybe Jamie.
Yeah.
Maybe Jamie.
I would say maybe Jamie. I'd wonder if a little bit of that comes to Ashley from your investment and our investment into Michelle and her love story, because so much of this season has been us talking about, you know, the guys at the end and the guys that she matches with, that the drama just feels like it a little bit takes away from that. And so it hasn't been something we've gotten super into. There hasn't been cliffhanger storylines necessarily on an episode that were like, oh, I can't wait till next week to see how this plays out. They're mostly just stupid arguments from people being stupid.
You know what? That raises a good point. Normally, you know, for the past, I'd say like 5 years, there's been non-complete episodes where like we don't end after a rose ceremony, but almost all of these episodes have ended after a rose ceremony. And now I miss the other way.
No, I don't. I like to.
You don't? You like the conclusion?
Yeah. I don't like to be thinking about it all week. I want to just close. I want to close the laptop after I get sent the screener and say I'm done. But that's just me. Well, next big moment after the commercial break, we come into Caitlin asking Tayshia why she's not wearing her engagement ring. This is a big moment in the episode, especially for a host to kind of have to be put on the hot seat. Ashley, what'd you think?
I thought it was really awkward.
Yeah.
I did not like the way it was done. I know that they wanted it to be addressed, and that's totally, I mean, I don't know if that's cool. I mean, if it was cool with Tayshia, then it's cool with me. But I just thought it was weird to just be like, oh, hey, friend, I noticed your ring's not on. Maybe we should address this now in the middle of the episode. I felt like it could have been placed somewhere else. I don't know. How did you feel about it? Just thought it was awkward. I mean, not that it's going to be like not awkward, but.
Well, just from a flow standpoint, it was weird because all the drama was done. You know, they're getting ready to bring Rodney onto stage. And so, you know, best case scenario is Tayshia gets confronted on this. She explains herself and then she puts a smile on her face and interviews Rodney. That's impossible. She just got to have a relationship probably, I mean, a week or two before this episode. And so had, it was just hard.
She apparently filmed this episode the day of or the day after the breakup was announced. So it's been within the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, just from a flow perspective, it felt oddly placed. I thought it could have been done at the very end, at the very beginning. But right in the middle, like right before they bring good old Rodney up to talk.
See, exactly. Actually, I think it would have been okay at the end because it was like, okay, well, we're going to continue to watch Michelle's love story. But Tayshia, we have a little bit of an update on what has happened with yours.
So that happens. Rodney comes up on stage. Tayshia then walks off the stage, I'm sure to take a breather, just to refocus. I think it was just probably needed. But Rodney comes up.
Yeah. It looks a little bit like almost stagey, but yeah. I'm sure it wasn't.
I agree.
I bet you she was sitting there for a second and trying to compose herself, blink back the tears, you know, try to console that lump in her throat. And she probably was like, I can't do it. And it's going to be really awkward if I'm sitting here and I start crying in front of him about what's going through my brain and my heart.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that she probably just said, okay, in her head, like, let me just walk off for a second.
Yeah, makes sense. I agree. It did. Look and feel, I mean, probably because so much of this episode, like they had the streaker, they had the guy serving Will. There is something else that happened during this episode. I forget at this point. It, so much of it kind of felt like these are weird things that happen on a Mintel All that's supposed to be live. Mm-hmm. That this was like, it kind of fell into that category of the one-off weird thing. But I'm sure it was just Tayshia needing a break and saying, but yeah, it just within this episode, it felt a little weird. But anyways, Rodney gets on stage. Nothing major here, in my opinion, other than just finding out that Rodney is still a good dude and their relationship moved really slow and that it didn't make sense long term for them to stay together.
Caitlin does say that maybe he'll find love on the beaches of Mexico. And I have to say, if there's one guy in this group that I feel like we're definitely going to see as a rootable, more romantic character in Paradise, it would be Rodney.
Yeah.
Another shoo-in for Paradise, I would say, would be Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that too. Rodney is a rootable character. I'm excited to see him in Paradise. I think he'll do great in Paradise. He reminds me of a lot of the guys who have done really well there and met the loves of their lives there. Just a nice guy looking for love, honest, and just a kind human that you feel like you want to be around. Well, this brings us into a little break where we officially get to dive into Clayton's season of The Bachelor. The guys start talking about Clayton because he is not there. We get to find out a little bit more about how they feel about Clayton. It feels like they all really like him, that they think he's going to do great. Let's just go then and talk, since we're talking about Clayton, talk about his preview. Ashley, the preview that was aired seems dramatic, seems intense. Not what I expected, but I want to hear your thoughts before I share mine.
I don't know whether I should say this or not, but there was a girl, but I'm going to say it anyway. At the opening of Audrey's, there was a girl that in attendance who was on Clayton's season, and she texted me yesterday during the airing of this preview, and she was like, oh my gosh, preview just aired, feels really intense. One of my friends is heavily involved in the preview, and she's like, it's just so crazy. And I'm like watching this and I'm like, actually, it looks good. Does it look like more intense than another Bachelor season? I'm not sure. I think there's so much focus though on that top three. We don't have any other vibes as like how it's going to be throughout as he weeds through the girls.
I was surprised that he admits openly that he was intimate with more than one person.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's, Ben, you're really on top of things today. No, as I have pregnancy brain.
I'm feeling good.
Wow. That was interesting because the only reasoning as to why I would think he would say that in that moment would be if he lied to one of them or lied to both of them previously and said, I didn't with the other person. Because isn't it usually kind of assumed that that there's a strong possibility at the top two or whatever that might be, that after Fantasy Suites that has been done? Do you know what I mean?
I think it's the assumption.
Like, I think that's the assumption. And I think like usually it's not. I think that usually the lead doesn't end up sleeping with like all three in the fantasy suite. But those are things that are addressed later on in private where mm-hmm. it's like, oh, by the way, I didn't. Why does he feel the need to tell both of them in that moment?
Well, I think it's the assumption. I also think people don't talk about it because it brings up something. I mean, if you're the lead, you signed up for everything to be aired out on the table, everything to be seen and known about you. If you're a contestant, you've semi done that, but you don't expect, I mean, Nick Vile was famous for this back in the day with Andy, but like, you just don't expect it to be talked about unless you both agree upon it, because maybe you don't want the whole world knowing what happened in the fantasy suite. So it's assumed by the audience. It's probably assumed by the cast members, but I agree with you that the conversation typically happens in private if you did, because it's just healthier and you've probably not had the opportunity to go up to that person and be like, hey, are you okay if I talk about the fact that we were intimate in the fantasy suite? Like, I just feel like if you haven't had that conversation, it's not exactly wise to just throw it out there. But there has to be a reason why he's throwing it out there. Either he feels like he has to. He feels
like he feels guilty. Like something happened.
That's not a good excuse, though. It's not a good
excuse. No, I'm not saying it's definitely not a good excuse.
You only can say that kind of stuff publicly if you believe it's wise and healthy for every party involved. And unless like guilt or whatever is not the reason to do that, you have to say, no, I'll wait and have this conversation afterwards. But
so bizarre that he wouldn't even pull them each aside and been like, hey, I have to tell you something.
It's so weird.
He just does it there in front of the two of them so they could just look at each other
and be like, this is weird. Well, hey, we don't know a lot about Clayton. We don't know a lot about his season, but we do know somebody who, it's been a while since she came on the podcast. She is the founder of this podcast, the executive producer of the podcast. She has met Clayton very recently. At an iHeart event. She's been able to spend time with him, and she's coming on the podcast right now to tell us her thoughts on our new bachelor, Clayton.
Okay. We have Amy Sugarman, our producer, on the line. She hung out with Clayton for apparently an extended period of time at LA's Kiss FM Jingle Ball. Amy.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's been way too long.
I know. I'm always watching and listening, but.
Welcome back to your podcast.
First of all, I have to tell you, Ashley, oh my God. So last night I was in the bathtub, which is like, you know, what I do.
Yeah.
So I had my phone and I'm going through my Instagram. Oh my God. First of all, I feel horrible for you because I knew it was bad, but your Instagram where you showed all the pictures and video of you. Oh my God. I mean, I love the Instagram.
It's pretty good.
So for everyone listening, so Ashley showed all these like beautiful models pregnant, like just living their best lives. Like pregnancy is just a joy. And like, they had blowouts and makeup and perfect outfits. And then it's just Ashley barking, puking, looking horrendous, crawling,
horrendous,
like in pain, doubled over. Like, I'm Jared laughing. Jared's just like laughing, going, "Are you okay?" Like,
it brought me joy, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, Ash. But I'm sorry, it did bring me joy.
No, it brought me joy too. Honestly, I watched it. I watched it, of course, many times when I was creating it. But then, even yesterday, while reading comments, I would find myself going back to rewatch it because, like, people liked it so much.
Oh my gosh!
And I was like, let me see.
I think I watched.
Why do they love it?
I watched it 8 times. I was like, I have to do this again.
Oh my gosh. There really was more gnarly things that I could have included, but I texted you guys. I had a more extended throw up clip. I did not ever show any vomit. You don't see anything coming out of my mouth, but you can see I'm actually
No, you looked
heaving. Horrendous. Do you know what I mean? So yes. Thank you for your honesty. See, Amy, this is what
is
I want to hear. I want to hear people say you look your worst because that is honesty. And that is what I say about myself. I don't need pleasantries. It does not make me feel better. It makes me feel like you're lying to my face.
Oh, no. First of all, you're very pretty, Ashley, but you look beyond. And number two, I've had sleepovers with you. So I know that even when you wake up, you look pretty. So you look so bad.
I'd say you're still glowing. I'm just going to keep on that. She's still glowing in my opinion because
you're so funny. Yeah. Amy and Ben, you are very funny as well for saying that. So anyway, yeah. So what I was saying was on TikTok, when I had just a tiny bit more of the barf bag scene, they flagged it for graphic/violent content. Mm. So when I put it on Instagram, I was like, okay, I guess I will just edit a little bit, just fudge it a bit so that nobody has to actually see the hurl.
Can't be offensive.
Anyway, so sorry, we got distracted. So okay.
Yes, we did.
I'll tell you guys what happened. And it was pretty rad. So Michelle Young, who I really liked when I met her in person, that was my first time meeting her in person, was coming to Jingle Ball. So at the last second, they emailed us and said, hey, would you guys want Clayton to come? And obviously my response was hell yes. So yeah. He wasn't allowed to do any interviews, but he could come and take photos. Cause I think, it's too early. The show doesn't premiere till January 3rd.
Are you sure that they're just not scared that we're going to be further convinced he has no personality?
No, because here's what I'll tell you. So I was a full naysayer. I was I don't know about this. I met him. So he walked up and he was so charming. And first of all, he still had to have a mask on. And so I couldn't even see his face yet. And he was so charming in the eyes. Here's what he reminds me of. Chris Soules meets Ben Higgins. So he sort of has the body type of Chris Soules.
That's intense.
It's awesome. I'm telling you guys, I was not sold. And now I'm DVR set. So
really?
Yes. Second of all, we had all these protocols where you had to be tested and vaccinated and all these things. So he was allowed to take his mask off. So then I saw the dreamiest smile, excellent teeth. I'm telling you guys, the teeth and the smile was just sparkling, good personality. I only got to talk to him for maybe I don't know, it was probably 10 minutes, but here's what I thought was super interesting. And I was not being flirty because I'm 100 years older than him, but I remember touching him. I gave him the pat on the arm and touched his upper arm and lower arm, which I'm why am I doing that? And it's because he's so cool and charming.
Mm, you've never touched my arm.
Yes, I have. I'm sure I have. But he has the personality of Ben Higgins, the body type.
That's a very strong statement.
I know. He has the body type of Chris Soules, thinner, but very tall,
Midwest,
very tall.
Burly, carries trees.
Strong, yes, that guy is going to be able to lift up every single one of those girls with one
strong
arm.
Like lumberjack.
Strong like Mark Wahlberg, but tall.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So we should get behind this now. I mean, we've never been a Clayton hater. We just have been confused or a little bit off on how this was such an easy choice.
I'm telling you guys, I was not. Yeah. I was I don't know. So I'm not saying I was. Yay, this is the guy. I was very, I don't know. And now I have totally done a 180. I'm this guy is the old school bachelor that I loved. Reminds me of the ones that we loved.
A Brad Walmack.
Yes.
Type.
Mm.
But better. Okay. Chris Soules. Chris Soules meets Ben Higgins. Not as funny as Wells. So I'm not going to say Wells. Like, not ha-ha hilarious. Charming like Ben. Kind. There for the right reasons. Dare I say it. So then I said, so I have heard that the season's very good. But sometimes I hear that and I don't know if it's actually true or if somebody's trying to like trick me so we get excited. Mm-hmm. So I said, I heard the season's really good. And he goes, for me or for television? And I was like,
oh, well, that's promising for all of us.
So I felt. So here's what I'll say. I'm going to watch and I'm excited.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this changes things. We can usually trust Amy Sugarman on her opinion because she gets a lot of inside scoop. She gets to meet a lot of these people, so we can usually trust her.
There's never been a bachelor I haven't met.
Really?
I've met every single bachelor from the 1700s till now. And this guy definitely has that thing when he walks in the room, you're like, oh, like very celebrity, like star. You know how they say like they suck the air out of the room? Well, of course I was outside with like 18 masks on, but at the same time I was like, yeah, this guy's got it. He had a twinkle in his eye and his smile was so dreamy. Great smile.
Well, here's what I'm concerned about. Because if you've met every bachelor since 1700 and I'm the only one you've ever given a job, I'm nervous that my job maybe up as of next year.
Never, Ben. No. Never. Okay. You can just, like Ashley, have some babies. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Puppy.
We'll be totally fine.
Couple puppies.
Please have kids at the same time. Well, Jess is too young. Don't do that.
I don't know how we expedite this process. Amy, thanks for coming on the Almost Famous podcast.
Merry Christmas. I love you guys so much.
Appreciate you. Love you, Amy.
We really miss seeing you in person.
On our text trip. Okay. Bye.
All right, well, let's wrap up the last part of the tell-all, which is when Michelle arrives. She does her pleasantries with Rodney and with Rick and, you know, just like, you guys are great. Like, hope the best for you. The one she really couldn't get behind was Jamie.
No.
She was like, no, not letting Jamie get away with this.
It's just, yeah. She put her foot down. She said, no, this isn't okay. Like, you know, as we were talking about earlier, the explaining part was really what she said. No, this is not happening. We do have to, because I know we're closing up this segment. We do have a couple just final notes here. One, we do see the sneak peek for the rest of the season. Nothing shocking there. The shocking part of the episode, maybe the weirdest part of the episode, one I'm happy about, is Peter brings out pizza for everybody in the cast and for the host and Michelle, who, you know, just as you said, Michelle was absolutely awesome during this whole episode. She was just there for a short period of time, but she looked beautiful. She handled herself well as she has the whole season. But the pizza comes out. They have a bite of pizza. And then all of a sudden, Will and Peter are good.
Friends.
They hug. What happened?
You know, look at what the power of pizza can do.
I guess. I mean.
That was sweet.
It was sweet. And what, I mean, come on. Peter just got a commercial pretty much on ABC prime time for his pizza restaurant. I mean, who really won in this process?
Oh, Peter definitely won. Michelle said that she said it was good pizza too. So, I mean, I was wondering how it lasted cross country. I was like, is it really good right now?
Yeah, that's what dry ice can do, Ash. Well, hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we are going to do Bachelor headlines. Yes, it is time for Bachelor headlines with our resident expert, Ashley Iaconetti. Well, a lot of these headlines are around Colton Underwood, so we're going to highlight a few of them. The first one is this. Well, before we get into it, Ashley, have you seen Colton's documentary?
I did. I watched it all. I watched it all pretty fast. It's only 3 hours. I enjoyed it. I think it was really good storytelling. There's a lot of depth. There's some good messages in there. The episode about faith was very interesting, and how he has navigated, being a Christian while also admitting to himself that he's gay. And then I also found the episode where these guys were trying to like kind of integrate him into the gay community. and he just was like uncomfortable with jumping in like that. So I would definitely say give it a chance. Definitely say, like, you know, watch it if it's not your cup of tea, whatever. But like, I thought it was good.
I haven't watched it.
But there's a few things I understand people having issues with. Okay, first off, like, we have to say, like, I want to say every time, nothing excuses what he did with his treatment of Cassie. And he acknowledges this in the docuseries. He also brings up Cassie a lot. And that kind of brings us to our first headline.
Yeah.
Where Cassie doesn't really like this very much.
No, it doesn't. Well, I haven't seen it. You know, Colton came out this week and said that nobody from Bachelor Nation reached out to him kind of after coming out. And that's just not true. So it kind of erupted in my gut a little bit because I know.
Yeah. So you're kind of like, oh, well, I don't want to watch it now.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, maybe that's pride. Maybe that's, I need to get over that. And maybe I will. But, you know, I know of multiple people that did, including myself, including friends of mine that reached out to him.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he's saying that. Like, I just don't get it. I don't know if that's a good headline. I don't know if it makes the rest of us look unsupportive or what.
He said Chris Harrison was the only one who reached out, and I knew that you had, and I had a couple other names in mind that probably did as well.
I mean, I sent him a book about, like, how you navigate, like, from a buddy of mine, about how you navigate being a Christian and coming out. So, like, I just don't understand this stuff sometimes. Like, it's like, are you just trying to make everybody else look bad and for people to feel bad? Because, like, Colton, I know people who did, including myself. And so that's just a lie. Like, it is.
You live so close together, too.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't understand that, but I haven't watched it yet. Here's the first headline. Cassie Randolph thinks it's inappropriate for Colton Underwood to speak out about their relationship. This, according to E!
Before I read the headline, I do want to say there was one lingering question I left the series questioning after I was done watching the series. And that is, why didn't he reach out to Cassie and say, I'm gay first before coming out publicly? Because there's this scene in it where they, like, he and his friend and his dad debate whether or not Cassie is going to reach out the day of the GMA interview. And Colton and his dad don't think so. But I'm just like, why didn't you reach out to her before this? That's crazy. He does allude to him not being able to speak about certain things publicly. And maybe because of legal issues, he can't even reach out to Cassie herself. But I don't know. But this is what Cassie says, or sources say that Cassie feels. She doesn't love that her name keeps being brought up. This is a source exclusively told E! This. She has definitely moved on from that time of her life. She thinks that it's inappropriate that Colton has continuously spoken about their relationship, but understands it's part of his journey. She went through a lot. They went through a lot together, and she prefers not to talk about that chapter and to keep moving forward in her life. She's really happy right now and is in a healthy relationship. Cassie has not spoken to Colton in a very long time, and they do not have a friendship.
Yeah, well, you know, there's obviously, Cassie is affected by all of this, and she is definitely entitled to that opinion. Well, next headline is this. Colton Underwood goes Instagram official with boyfriend Jordan C. Brown to celebrate his birthday. This, according to E!
Yes. So he is a political consultant. We've talked about this before when they were spotted in Hawaii a couple months ago. This is his boyfriend, Jordan, who it seems that he's been with for at least a couple months now. They say that they're in love and they're very happy. And on his birthday, Colton did on his story, he said this: happy birthday to my dog loving family man, corn fed love, in another photo. And then the two of them with the dogs in another photo. And recently, Colton has said that they're very happy and very in love. And again, have been together for several months now.
Well, moving on from Colton, we do have a headline that hurts all of us here.
I mean, it's the saddest thing.
Dean Unglert and Kaylin mourn their dog Pappy. Hardest day of their lives. We know Pappy well. We loved Pappy a ton.
Happy was the sweetest. We got to hang out with him on multiple like sleepover occasions. Kaylin was talking to me at your wedding about how she felt like she didn't have much more time with Pappy. They were told when they first adopted him over two years ago that he probably only had a year at best, but he got 2 years with them. And they wrote on Instagram, "Today, our sweet little man left our earth. He took his final breaths in the arms of his loving mother." We weren't there for the beginning or the middle of his life, but we were there for what we believe to be the most important part, the end. And he was just treated so amazingly. They were the best dog parents. That boy was showered with love and adventure.
We love Pappy.
And care. Yeah.
Well, that's just tough. That's really hard. Well, on to then, switching gears is a hard transition, but it's on to something really exciting. Somebody that was on our season of The Bachelor, season 20, Bachelor Nation's Amanda Stanton is engaged to boyfriend Michael after less than 1 year together. This is according to Us Weekly.
Yay! We are so happy for Amanda and Michael. If you guys follow her on Instagram, you know that Michael is very doting towards the girls, her daughters, and he's also hilarious, and he's a great chef, and he seems to bring out the best in Amanda.
Seems happy.
She seems so happy. She said on Instagram, "I'm still freaking out and I'm shaking. Can't wait to tell you everything. All the love from y'all means so much." He also gave the daughters rings at the proposal, which is really cute. Which is like, I don't want to just spend the rest of my life with your mom, but I want to spend the rest of my life with you guys too, which is just,
I'm sure those girls loved it. Well, congratulations to both of them. Amanda is one of our favorites, and it's great to see her smiling with joy. Somebody else smiling with joy right now is Bachelor Nation favorite Wells Adams to host pizza competition Best in Dough on Hulu. This is according to The Wrap.
I know. It's a 10-episode unscripted series that will be, talking about. It's for pizza-obsessed competitors from all walks of life to showcase their pizza-slinging skills to battle it out for $10,000. So basically, if you're a pizza lover, it's a food show. It's a food competition about pizza and who makes the best pie.
That's great.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's going to be awesome at it. Well, super happy. Yeah. And there's not a headline on here, but Wells Adams spent some time in Orlando just this week doing media for an upcoming golf tournament that we're going to be playing in. The golf tournament is sponsored by Hilton Hotels. It is a LPGA meets celebrity golf tournament. It'll be aired on the Golf Channel and NBC. And Wells, I've played in this the last 2 years. I've never had a friend there. I've always kind of been like the one non-athlete and non-big-time actor. Wells is playing in it this year, and he came out publicly, I'd like to announce, and said that his only goal is to beat me. Well, I will tell you this right now. For any of you,
feeling you're better at golf.
Nah, I'm not. He's really good.
No,
he's really good. It's going to take a really good 4 days for me to beat him, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to try my hardest. And I'm going to tell you this right now publicly. Wells Adams, I'm going to do everything I can to embarrass you. Embarrass you. Make you cry on that golf course. So, in January, you're going to see this on NBC. Please check it out. It's going to be a blast. Hey, all right, enough about me. On to Clayton, our next bachelor. He said he did find love on Good Morning America. Now we know that could be with three people.
That's true.
No shame here. Hey, no judgment, buddy. You do you. You figure it out later.
Yeah, he said, "I did find love. I was a little skeptical going into the whole journey, but I was so pleasantly surprised that things worked out much differently than I had thought." He says that he's excited to, this is interesting, he's excited to watch it back. And to have everybody else watch it as well. Not many bachelors say they're excited to watch it back.
That sounds terrible. That sounds like my worst nightmare.
He said that one of the best things was getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and stepping out of his comfort zone.
There you go, Clayton. Good luck, buddy. He's going to do great. I can't wait for him to come on. I want to meet him so I can get a little bit of idea of who he is. I do think he's going to be, I mean, I do think he is a great dude. I just am still shocked at the process at which they went to picking him and how easy it was for them to pick him. Well, somebody else that we love so dearly. She spent time with me at Bachelor Live on stage. So talented. Came to the wedding. Bachelor alum Sydney Lotwako announces engagement to fiance Nick. One and done, she says. This according to People.
Yeah, this year she moved to Cincinnati to be with her boyfriend. She says one and done because she's never had a boyfriend before. And like me, basically, she had one and that's it. And she's happy and she's done. She says, love you forever in the Instagram. So we started talking back and forth via Instagram and then texting and then eventually FaceTiming for 3 months before meeting in person. They met in August 2020 and they decided to take their relationship to the next level, and she moved in with him on a whim pretty fast. And there we go. The rest is history. Hey, she was with him on tour with you, right?
No, she met him right after tour.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah, and she moved there.
Yeah, okay, August 2020.
That's crazy. Wow. Super pumped for her. She's the best. Love her dearly. She actually got up on stage at my wedding and showed the whole crowd her dancing skills. It was pretty impressive, I will say. Final headline of today. We talked about it earlier, and we're going to talk about it again because it's worth mentioning. Ashley and Jared's new cafe, Audrey's, opens with coffee, treats, and a nod to The Bachelor. Congratulations, Ashley and Jared, on this opening.
Thank you.
So pumped for you guys. We talked about it earlier, but I just want to mention it again. Well, hey, everybody, that's it for today's episode. I would like to once again mention, make it a headline, make it a thing, blow it up, because at the Hilton Tournament of Champions, Wells Adams will be embarrassed. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.